Sipping coffee in the mornings on Sunday, so welcome. Good to have you here this morning. It is an honor and a blessing to be able to serve the Lord, isn't it? It really is. It is such an incredible blessing to be a part of the kingdom of God, not as just somebody who is maybe just counted in the role, but to be involved in the workings of the kingdom of God. There is no greater honor, there is no greater blessing, no greater joy than to be plugged into what God is doing in his kingdom. Amen? And if you are not fully involved, then I urge you today, at some point in your walk with God, at some time during your meeting with God, in your prayer time, in your study time, begin to seek the face of God as to where you can plug in more and where your ministry fits in. This isn't necessarily part of this lesson, but I'll tell you this, that as I prepared for this, I couldn't help but remember the revelation, I guess, if you will, that the understanding of, you know, even in my own life, of seeking the will of God, seeking areas that I can plug into the things of God and finding the will of God for my life. And God began to show me that we can just do what we're good at, but do it for the kingdom of God. Find an area of your life that you're just predisposed to doing it well, something you like to do, something you enjoy doing, but focus that thing, focus that talent, focus that gift on the kingdom of God. And I promise you, you will find a place that you fit in that will be so rewarding, not only for yourself, but for the people that you will come in contact with, the people that you will bless because of that talent, that gift, or that ability. If you like talking on the phone, do it for the kingdom of God. Instead of gossiping, why don't you call somebody and say, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. How are you doing? If you like writing letters, one of the most incredible things that has affected me as a young man is once in a blue moon, I may get a card from somebody that says, hey, I'm thinking about you. I'm praying for you. The thought that somebody would take that time to reach out to me like that makes a huge difference. And so whatever you're good at, just be good at it for the kingdom of God. And it will be one of the most rewarding things that you have ever experienced in your life. And so plug into the kingdom of God in some way, in some fashion, some form, and just see what God will do through you. Be a blessing in the areas that you're already good at. If you're a good cook, make something for somebody. Amen. It's that simple, and you'll see God at work in your life. And the reason why I said that is because today we're going to talk about making the kingdom of God the highest priority in our lives. And so something as simple as focusing on our gifts, focusing maybe just on our talents and on our abilities, how can I take those things that I'm already involved in my life? How can I take the areas in my life that I've already become accomplished in and focus them on to the kingdom of God? Because ultimately, the kingdom of God must be our highest priority. Working for the Lord must be our highest priority. And I want to talk about that for a few minutes here today. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, we're going to read verses 1 and 2, and then we're going to skip down to verse 17 and read down through verse 14. Verse 1 and 2 says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. And verse 7, then shalt the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books. There is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. One of the first things that we are admonished to do is to remember the Lord. Remember the Lord. To give God all the honor that is due to him, we must avoid taking him for granted. The Hebrew word for honor literally means to make heavy. When we treat the things of God lightly and do not give the Lord proper praise or worship, we are not honoring him. But we must work hard to honor the Lord in all aspects of our lives. It is a duty. It is a chore. It is a job, if you will. It is a burden. It is something that we cannot literally take lightly. But we have to make it and keep it and work hard to protect it as the highest priority in our lives. Many times our problem is not a lack of love for the Lord or even a desire to properly honor him. But instead, our neglect arises from becoming too busy. We put so much focus on the things of this life that we fail to remember our Creator. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon wrote about his accomplishments. And perhaps he became so busy in these pursuits that he forgot about God. Or maybe he did not work as diligently at keeping God first and foremost in his life. And at the end of the book, Solomon challenges his readers to remember their Creator. We need to purposefully make God a priority in our lives. Purposely make God a priority in our lives. Your flesh will not just inherently want to keep God first and foremost in your life. It's not going to happen. You're not going to just wake up and your flesh want to honor God and follow after God. That's not the way that we're wired. We're made of flesh, and the Bible talks about that war between the flesh and the spirit, our selfishness fighting against our righteousness, the trying to please our flesh and trying to obtain the things of this life opposed to appeasing the spirit and following after what pertains to the spirit. There's a constant war going on, and so we have to fight to keep the things of God and the kingdom of God number one in our lives. Can somebody say amen? Because it's easy to get caught up in the busyness of life. Have you been there? I'm there every day. I'm there right now. There are things that are going on in my mind this morning as we went through choir practice and some of the business of getting ready for our service today that have to do with what I have to accomplish later on this afternoon. And so we're trying to focus on musicians practice and I'm thinking about Christmas choir and we're trying to focus on choir practice and I'm trying to remember the people that I'm supposed to have CDs prepared for. And Sister Lindy, I've got you one for later this afternoon. I haven't forgotten. I remembered during choir practice. And when we've got all of these things vying for our attention, and so we have to work very hard to maintain our priorities and to keep God first and foremost, not because we're a bunch of sinners, not because everybody that I'm speaking to today is just a wretched sinner with the things of this world on their mind. It's just we get so busy. And life becomes a struggle, and we have so many things going on that we literally have to work and fight to keep God number one in our lives. We focus on jobs. We focus on families. We have that whole to-do list that we have to accomplish. We have to be careful that we don't get so busy that we forget about the kingdom of God. Many times, because there are so many things that we deem as important, things that have to be done right now, that God gets pushed further and further down on the list of priorities until he eventually gets pushed onto the "if I have time left" list. And I fight this every day in my life. I'm not great at prioritizing. I'm a little bit of a procrastinator. There's a young man here in the church that has a t-shirt that I love, but it makes me cringe because I see myself in it. It says, "Top 10 reasons why I procrastinate." And it says, "Number one." And that's it. It's as far as he got. He never finished it yet. And I'm a little bit embarrassed to admit this, but you know, here, it was a number of years ago, Pastor sat the office staff down and he had us all take those personality tests. And they have some that are, you know, give colors and some give these weird names that I have no idea what they mean. And we were going to figure it out, all that stuff, and see what personality we were. And he gave me mine. I started it. I never finished it. And I have no idea where it is right now. I lost it somewhere. And so I guess that pretty much you can tell you what personality I am, even though I didn't turn it back in. But many times, all of these things, we're struggling with all of this stuff and trying to keep God first and foremost in our life. And if we're not careful, if we don't maintain that priority, if we don't work at it, it will slip away. Not because we're sinners, but just because we're alive. We're human beings, and we have so much stuff vying for our attention. I have to do this with my children. I have to do this with my marriage. I have to do this with my job, right? We can't take so much time for our families that our jobs and our responsibilities start slipping away. I can't do these things become so focused on our job that our children and our time with them begin to slip away. We've got to prioritize. But with all of this stuff, we have to remember to keep God first and foremost in our life. In his old age, Solomon addressed the importance of honoring God. He said, "Remember the Creator in the days of our youth." And he showed us that remembering that allows us to create a good spiritual habit or good spiritual habits. We should take advantage of these opportunities that those years bring to worship and to serve the Lord. In Ecclesiastes 12:1, he writes, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not." While the days come when we finally say, "I have no pleasure in them." As we have less vitality, we still may have a heart set on honoring God, but we're simply not capable of giving God as much as we would like, because life starts to kick in. Responsibilities of growing up start to kick in. The new term for this now is adulting. And you'll see people saying, "I don't like adulting. I just want to be a kid again, where we don't have to worry about all that stuff. We don't have to worry about dinner. We don't have to worry about bills. We don't have to worry. But now I'm an adult and I've got to adult." My mom always says that growing up is not for sissies. But you've got to fight. You've got to work. It's not easy. Amen. And Solomon recognized this. And so he said, you know, you'd be wise to focus on the things of God and set up some of those priorities and some of those habits while you're young and not cumbered down by the cares of life and the responsibilities of growing older. The fact of the matter is that you simply have more time for the kingdom of God when you're younger than, as another version of the scripture states, than when the more difficult days come. When he said, when the evil days come, he's talking about the difficult days, the times when we're burdened down with all of the responsibilities that come with growing up, that come with being a mature adult, being the head of a household, leading a family, raising children, holding down a job. And so we better put some things in order before the struggle of life gets us so out of whack that we forget about God. We forget about our calling, or maybe it just slips away. I'm not talking about people that are turning their back on God. I'm not talking about the people that are just walking away from their calling. I'm talking about the people that love God, know that they are called of God, but just get so caught up with life that they begin to walk away from or let the things of God just slowly slip away from them, and not focusing on their calling and not focusing on the kingdom of God because of the cares of life. When we're young, we don't have to worry about the mortgages, the light bills, all that other stuff, And we can make decisions more freely, but then when we have the responsibilities of being an adult, we have to weigh all of our decisions in comparison to all of those factors. And so it's not as easy, and so we have to work harder to maintain God as a priority in our life. I can remember as a young man when God began to call me to the ministry, God began to lead me in certain directions and really change my life and call me to a different state and to leave my church, to move out of the house and go and assist another church than where I was living at the time and where I had grown up. And my biggest decision, my biggest fear was, is this the right choice? Is this what God is really calling me to do? I felt like this is where God was leading me. But I wasn't sure. It was a huge step for me as a young man. And I can remember how overwhelming that choice was. And what struck me was, as heavy as that decision weighed on me, it didn't include children. It didn't include a mortgage. It didn't include light bills. It didn't include ensuring that there was food on the table. And so the reason why I'm talking to you like this today is because I'm looking at a group of people that have to maintain and worry about all of those things and yet still pursue the will of God in our lives. And so if we are going to be effective and if we are going to truly follow after God, even with all of these things weighing on us, we better have God first in our life. Because if you think that you're going to follow after God and he's somewhere down 9, 10, 11, 12, 20, 30, 40th on the list, there is no way that you're going to follow after God and do what he's calling you to do. Because if it's hard enough as a young man with hardly any responsibilities, what will it be like as a grown-up with children and with bills and responsibilities and jobs and God saying, hey, I want you to go in this direction, and you're fighting all that. If God is not number one in your life, can somebody say amen? Amen. We better put God first in our life, because there's going to be decisions that we're going to be called to make that we'll never make if God is not first and foremost in our lives. And Solomon said it would be better for you to make up in your mind as a young person, as a young man, as a young woman, set some of these things in order so that when you're an adult, it's already there. It's just, it's a given. We're not even going to talk about it. Growing up in my house, I was blessed with a godly mom and a godly dad. The discussion of whether or not we were going to church, we just didn't even have that discussion. If we did, it would have probably gone something like, I don't feel like going to church. About as far as that discussion would have gone. I mean, we didn't talk about it. It was just one thing that wouldn't, if we were having church, we were going to church. And it's just, there were some things that were set. It's not even a discussion. We hardly even had to make, the decision was made already. God was number one. We're setting that thing. And so as we go through our life and as we begin to navigate through the call of God and really going to the next level in the kingdom of God and being more effective in the kingdom of God, there are some things that we're just not even going to have to deal with. There's some things that you shouldn't even have to pray about. They're just givens if God is number one in my life. If God is first and foremost, there's some things that I don't even have to think about. Amen. That's why it's so important to keep him number one. God, I'm not going to replace your priority with anything in my life. Nothing. Nothing will come first. And I really do believe, and I've tried to live my life in such a way. I don't have it down, but I'm trying to live my life that way where God comes first. And if there's something that is fighting for that position, that if I keep God first, that he will take care of all of those things. I'm just crazy enough to believe that if your job is fighting for first position, but you keep God first, God will take care of your job. Now, I know that's foreign to some people. Some of you thinking that's crazy. But I really do believe that if your finances are vying for number one place in your life, that if you fight to keep God in first place, that God will take care of the finances. I believe it with all my heart. I've seen God work too many times to believe that if I allow other things to take place, that I'll be as successful as I will if I keep God number one in my life. I've come to tell you today, God will take care of your job. God will take care of your marriage. God will take care of your children. But we've got to keep him first in our lives. We've got to take inventory every now and again to see where things are stacked up in our life. At work, we would go through and we would do inventory. We'd make sure all the numbers lined up. We'd make sure that all of the stock that we had in the back room, was everything was right. And sometimes we have to just stop for a few minutes in our lives and say, okay, where am I spending my time? Where am I spending my money? What am I the most focused on? And as an adult, for some of us, we're still trying to make those adjustments. And others, maybe you're already set in your ways and maybe you won't make those adjustments. But you'd be wise to instill these things into your children so they don't have the same struggles that we have. They don't have to make the same mistakes that we've made. We can teach them to keep God as the highest priority and their lives. We should be strong examples of honoring God throughout our entire lives. Ecclesiastes 12 focus on the aging process when eyes dim and the body starts to deteriorate. When we honor the Lord with our lives, we will be honored. Many seasoned saints can no longer run the aisles, and their voices may not be as powerful as they used to be. Their churches, however, revere them because they remember their sacrifices and they remember their testimonies, and they have a great legacy because they honored the Lord with their lives. And even as I spoke those words, many of you begin to think of specific individuals that you hold in very high regard because of their sacrifices that they have made over the course of their lives. And you may even attempt to pattern your walk with God after that individual's personal example. They have kept God first. They have lived it. And now they have a testimony of the power of keeping God in the high priority in life. We must also fear the Lord by showing proper reverence to the things of God. Proverbs 1:7 states, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We should seek wisdom and continue to learn throughout our lives. The book of Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are categorized as the books of wisdom. We should read these books and discover the wisdom that comes from fearing the Lord. Fearing the Lord is honoring God, keeping Him first. Some people even commit to reading one chapter of Proverbs each day of the month. Makes it quite easy because there's 31 chapters, and so they'll take one day. Most months it works. If you don't know the rhyme about how many days there are in April, May, June, and September, however it goes, learn it and it'll help you. They read one chapter every day and it reminds us of the wisdom of God. It'll help us to prioritize our lives and keep ourselves in order. The book of Ecclesiastes can also teach us to show proper reverence for the Lord. The book records all of Solomon's efforts to achieve greatness. The one thing that we find is that Solomon should have feared the Lord more. There was a point in his life where his priorities were in order. But then life kind of got the best of him. And he did not maintain the proper order of his priorities. He started off well by building a house for God, and his fear for the Lord later waned as he began building houses for false gods in order to please his many wives. He didn't keep God in the highest of priorities. He didn't keep God number one. If it's possible for the wisest man that ever lived to get caught up with life and let God slip away, then certainly it would be possible for you and I to let the things of God slip out of our grasp and slip out of that order of importance in our own lives. If someone as great as Solomon could fall in such error, then we should be that much more diligent in fearing the Lord and making and honoring the Lord a priority. Solomon may have had good intentions when he married his many wives. His goal was likely to achieve peace by marrying these women from the other countries. However, what may have been politically expedient was not spiritually wise. What may have been an incredible business opportunity may have led to spiritual destruction. Be careful when we begin to weigh things against finances and when we begin to weigh decisions against prosperity and against position, against title, against what this world says is success, and go back to weighing those decisions against the Word of God and against spiritual precepts. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Not every great business opportunity will be the best thing for you spiritually. The Bible asks us the question, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose a soul? There are people that I love dearly that I have watched make decisions according to the flesh and according to the things of this world and disregard spiritual precepts and commandments And slowly they begin to drift away from God and become more like the world, because God was not kept in the highest priority in their lives. I know it's easy to say, and it's a whole another world to live in when you're faced with the chance at incredible wealth, but know that it's not expedient spiritually, may not be the best spiritual decision, and you stand in the middle there. Not an easy decision, but we've got to keep God first. I know it's not an easy decision when we're raising our children and the things that we are teaching them, they're not socially acceptable anymore, and they're not widely accepted in schools and maybe in their peer groups. Be very, very careful. I would rather them have the protection of God than the acceptance of this world. But I'm going to tell you this, when your kid comes home and says, "Dad, people are making fun of me. I'm not fitting in." I haven't gotten to that place personally because my kids are still little, but I know people that have dealt with it and come home and say, "You know, because we live a certain way, because we don't act certain ways or don't go certain places, or because we dress a certain way and we uphold a standard of righteousness and holiness in our lives, that people are making fun of me and people are condemning me and I'm not making friends at school." That's going to be a difficult choice to make, to be able to stand for God. But I pray that God will help me with my children, that I will teach them to keep God first in their lives, and that God will take care of them. God will bless them. I would rather have the favor of God in my life than the acceptance of men. If we fear the Lord, we will be able to look past what seems right and look to the Lord for direction. I don't have time to get into all of it today, but you know, this mantra of "if it feels good, do it" can get you in some major, major trouble, because it's not always the best thing to just do what feels right. Amen. But we have to have a close enough relationship with God to go to God and say, "God, it feels so good. It feels so right." And God say, "Well, hey, this is a bad decision. You better run." I can remember different points in my life when my parents would say, "Hey, you're making a bad mistake. If you keep going in this direction, you're going to regret it." But man, it felt so right. It felt so right. It felt so good. And they would help me to get a hold of God and get direction from God and trust the promises of God, that even though it looks like I'm leading you into a wilderness, that there is a promised land on the other side. And so be careful that you just follow after the things of your heart and not follow after the spirit. Because the Bible says that your heart is desperately wicked. Your heart will deceive you. And so if you follow after your heart, you'll wind up in a mess sometimes. But if you follow after the Spirit, it'll bring you into righteousness and peace and joy and spiritual prosperity. Amen. Some claim to love the Lord, but they don't honor him with their life, with all of their decisions. We tend to think that our way is better. And I don't know why that I can even sometimes put my own way of thinking up against God and think that I know better than God, that I can work it out better than God. We find ourselves in different situations and we start to think that we can take care of it better than God can. We find ourselves in a financial situation. And so we say, well, I can't afford to pay my tithes. I can't afford to give to missions. I know these things are in the Bible, but if I do it this way. My father-in-law met with a man one time and the guy was telling him, hey, I'm in a bad way and I can't afford to pay my tithes. And I'll never forget my father-in-law's answer. He looked at that man and he said, well, I feel sorry for you, but I'm going to tell you this. I can't afford not to pay my tithes. Because I'll take the favor of God over my own decisions any day. I'll take the blessings of God over the 10% that I'm going to keep in my pocket any day. But you just go ahead and make your decisions and see where that gets you. I'm going to try to follow after God. And I'm going to hold on to his promises. Sometimes obeying the Lord seems easy. We feel like we can walk through the gates of hell and come out unsinged. And on other occasions, we find ourselves in a time of temptation, but we should not despair because even Jesus went through those times of suffering and those times of temptation in the wilderness. But during these times, we must put forth the extra effort to prioritize obeying the commandments of God. God will not let you down. God will not let you down. Like Jesus, we should rely on Scripture, quoting it, to overcome sin and overcome the enemy. We should also think about what we want to obey the Lord and why we want to obey the Lord. The promises, the protection, the blessing. We are not merely obeying the Lord because we're just rule followers, but we are obeying God because we love him and we want to keep his commandments. Sometimes it's just plain and simple. We have to force ourselves to obey simply because it's the right thing to do. Has anybody in here made a decision not because you liked it or not even because you agreed with it, but simply because it was the right thing to do? One of the hardest things we will ever do in our lives is going down the right path simply because it's the right path. It may be a greater struggle. It may bring difficulties. It may have troubles that we can see, and yet we know we have got to go down this path because it's where God is leading me. One of my favorite verses of Scripture tells us that the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It literally illuminates the way that we should take. And we have so many choices, so many different avenues. But God is saying, walk down this road. He is lighting that path. He is illuminating that street that we should follow. And we may not understand it. We may not see it. And we may say, God, I don't understand why you're bringing me this way. This way looks so much easier. But this path that you're bringing me down looks like it's bumpy. And it looks like it's uphill, so steep. But God is saying, trust me, because I will bring you into greater things. I'm going to bring you to a land of promise. And so sometimes we have to make decisions just because it's the right thing to do. But I've come to tell you, if God is not first and foremost in your life, there's a good chance that you won't be able to make that decision. If my job is first, if my personal goals are first, if my finances or the pursuit thereof is first in my life, there's a good chance that I'm not going to be able to make godly decisions just because they're the right decision. Matthew 11, 29 through 30 says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Whatever you experience on the road that God has sent you down will be nothing compared to the weight of the decisions that you make in your own flesh. The baggage that you'll have to carry down the road that your flesh leads you down will be incredibly heavier